Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 24th September, Thursday. So we will be having our Heart Sutta class sharing. We are at page 214, Appendix 3, Section 2. Understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching. As usual, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation before we commence the class. Okay, I will off the light, then we can set the alarm for the half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So the awareness-based meditation is very simple. I think most of us are familiar. You just have to relax and maintain awareness. The purpose and intent of meditation is to develop heedfulness. That is the first thing you have to have. If you already have the heedfulness, then it's very easy to develop the wisdom. To develop the heedfulness, we must have two parts developed. First part is ever mindful. Second part, constantly meditating. In order to realize these two, we need to start with training our mind to be mindful, then stabilizing it to be ever mindful. That's why we relax, maintain awareness, to stabilize the mindfulness. When we maintain awareness, we don't do anything. The thought ceased to be, or whatever existing thinking will slow down. Then this mundane mind will cease. When it ceases, you will realize the true mind, the original mind before the thinking, before the stirring, before the movement, sankhara activity. So meditation is to realize that mind first, then stabilize it. So that you are in a meditative state of mindfulness, ever mindful. Then that mind can meditate. After that, we can use that mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Constantly meditative. The mind that is in the state of meditation all the time. When you combine these two, ever mindful, constantly meditative, you become heedful. And the heedful never die, because Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you don't stand a chance. There's a reason why all meditation leads to training of the mind to be aware first, and stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then you said to meditate. Okay. This part is very important because this is the basis of cultivation. If you don't have understanding, you cannot cultivate. So I started off by sharing as I hope this is clear. And that is also the reason why I've always advised you all that meditation is to be done with understanding. Otherwise, you are wasting your time and you cannot progress because you are not focused. And you are actually doing it without the proper understanding. So be very clear about the whole teaching. Pariyati, or the learning of the teaching, is phase one Dhamma. Means when you start, the first phase of Dhamma is pariyati, the learning of the teaching. Only after you have a very clear understanding of the Dhamma, then only can you put the Dhamma into practice in daily life effectively, leading to the second phase of Dhamma cultivation, which is Patipati. Always be patient with pariyati, phase one of Dhamma. Otherwise, one becomes gullible when cultivating Patipatti. Most people, before they have a clear understanding of what this teaching is, they want to meditate, and they meditate without proper understanding. If you do that, it is really a waste of time. You cannot progress. Your meditation is to be developed or cultivated with understanding. Without understanding, you are gullible. You just follow instruction. Do things without understanding. That's why I say you are not focused. And when you are not focused, you cannot progress. You cannot develop it well. So understanding part is very important. But nowadays, actually, it's not easy to develop the understanding of the Buddha Dharma, the whole teaching. Because these teachings are like taught separately. Like they are not connected, not linked. So when you go to the temple or you pick up a book, they will tell you a lot about Buddhism, but they are not clear in their message. Means you do not really have proper understanding, because they are being taught as separate teaching or dhammas. Then people who don't have the understanding or the practical experience or the actual cultivation understanding, they cannot explain to you what this teaching is all about. They cannot link them up. They cannot really provide you with a clear map or understanding of what this teaching is. That's the reason why I look back and I don't blame people for not able to have the understanding. But at least you should start from somewhere. So if you have understood the essence of the Buddha's teaching, then you would have actually come across a very important emphasis that the Buddha always repeatedly tell the monk. Even before he passed away, strive on with heedfulness. Appamadena sampadayata. So what is the meaning of strive on with heedfulness? You must understand what is heedfulness. Then under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, he again emphasized on the importance of heedfulness. He said, without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you are as if dead. So what is this all-important heedfulness? Heedfulness, according to the Buddha, consists of two parts, based on Dhammapada verse 23. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So this points towards what heedfulness is. If you are constantly meditative and ever mindful, means you are heedful. If you hold on to these two cultivations steadfastly, you will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. So knowing what heedfulness is, you have to ask yourself, how can I be heedful? If I'm not being heedful, I don't stand a chance. Spiritually, I am dead. The heedless are as if dead. There is no chance for you to realize enlightenment or to progress along the path of Dhamma, to develop the spiritual understanding. So heedfulness is most important that if you were to analyze what heedfulness is, we break them up into two parts. Ever mindful is the first part. Then use it to meditate, constantly meditative is the second part. So to be ever mindful, we have to train our mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. So this understanding is fundamental and most important. If you don't have this understanding, you cannot progress. So what is mindfulness? Most people have problem where they don't understand what this word is. The Buddha used the word sati, Pali word. Sati means awareness actually. But the translation over the years somehow used this word mindfulness. But people never question how the word come about. Mindfulness. It come from two words, the mind in fullness. But they never ask full of what. If the mind is full of thought or thinking, sankhara activity, then that is not mindfulness. That is heedless thinking. So mindfulness means the mind is full in awareness. It's just aware. Fully aware. There is a meaning. So a better word would have been awareness. So mindfulness is actually an awareness before the knowing. You're just aware, silent, without thought. The moment you start to think or create mental chattering or verbalization, then you are not silent. You are being actively creating thought. Our mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent with the moment to be aware of what is going on in life, or you are lost in thought, heedless, preoccupied with what you think. So when you understand that, then you will understand what awareness is. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. Don't have to practice to be aware. Don't have to try to be aware. Why must you do that? Because your true mind is awareness nature. The awareness nature is very important. It's just a nature that is just aware. But this awareness nature is very difficult to understand. Very difficult to realize, because we have been so conditioned since birth until now. The conditioning created thinking, verbalization, chattering. The thought has been actively overused for mundane living. To study, to learn things, to remember things. It has become very mechanical. Then at the same time, we accumulate whatever we come to know or experience. That's how the memory part come in. Accumulation of experiences. So this memory that accumulate all these experiences, good and bad, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your phobia, your insecurity, your unhappy past, then also all of your sadness, sorrow and lamentation. Of course, there are also some good moments. The worst is psychological memories that affect you, that trigger of fear, worry, anxiety, phobia, causes suffering, mental suffering and misery. So this psychological memory, when you accumulate and cling, then you create that wrong thought. Your thought is respond to that memory. So if you accumulate a lot of psychological memory which is of no benefit, which will constantly create wrong thought to condition your suffering and misery, your fear, worry, and anxiety, then you are wasting your time in this world. Is you don't understand the teaching, you don't understand what is going on. You are creating your own suffering, misery, through what? Through wrong view, through sakayaditi, through ignorance. Because you lack wisdom, you lack understanding. So all this will lead you to a clear understanding that when you act, you cannot act according to memory, especially psychological memory. When you act according to that and you don't have the wisdom, you will be afflicted. You're acting according to this psychological memory, it's not acting at all. You know, all these psychological memories are full of all the rubbish inside them. They are your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation based on your wrong views and opinion of things. You don't have truth, you don't have wisdom. So all these are evil roots, roots of all evil. Your anger, your emotion, your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your scars of memory. All this, they are your psychological negativity of memory. So acting according to all this rubbish or memory is not acting at all. So based on the teaching, how should we act? The Buddha said you must act according to wisdom based on right view that he has taught you. The three great important right views, the spiritual law, the spiritual right view, they are the law of karma, karma niyama, chitta niyama, law of mind. Chitta is mind and its content of consciousness. And finally, is dhamma niyama. Means Dhamma is true. All the teaching that the Buddha teach, they are called Dhammas. They are true. So when you act according to these three right view, you really act. When you have right view, you will act following Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path start with right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort, then right sati, followed by right samadhi. So everything is in accordance with the spiritual law. That's how you can develop wisdom to act. And when you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, which is the wisdom way, the Dhamma way, you will be free from all suffering. That is the fourth noble truth. When you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, when you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Suffering need not be. You will not suffer anymore because you already awakened. You are no longer deluded. There is no more ignorance. So that's the reason why understanding is very important. Then the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. Go into it deep so that you understand the Four Noble Truths. Then under the first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, why did the Buddha say this Four Noble Truths and its three turning is to be understood? Then you go through the Dhammapada saying, especially verse 1 and 2, the twin words. The Buddha always say, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So this mind refers to the mundane mind. So we need to take care of this mind. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 is a twin verse. He said, if you want to live life, you have to understand this twin verse. Dhammapada verse 1 lead to heedless living, lead to suffering. The Buddha said, mind is a foreigner of all things, mind is cheap. When mind arises, all things arise. So if you don't take care of mind, you will be heedless. You will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you do that, then the Buddha says, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the car. That is life, your choice. If you choose to be heedless, don't want to train your mind, then go ahead and develop suffering through arising the wrong thought, the heedless thinking, following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas if you are mindful and heedful, if you see the danger of suffering, then the same opposite twin verse said, through heedfulness. Again, the Buddha repeats, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is cheap, and everything arises when mind arises. Therefore, he said, take care of this mind, train this mind, develop heedfulness, so that you can act, speak, and think with a heedful mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So Dhammapada verse 2 leads to happiness, avoid all suffering. So to choose is very easy as an individual. There are two possibility. If you choose to be heedless, you will end up suffering, misery. If you choose to be heedful, you will end up happy, blessed, with a lot of wholesomeness. So I always summarize that twin verse teaching into each and every one of us, we hold a key to our own life destiny. To be happy or unhappy is entirely our choice. So choose wisely. Always choose to be heedful, to be happy. Otherwise, you will end up heedless, miserable, suffer. So your life, you decide on which choice you want. So his teaching is very clear, very beautiful. Point directly to the truth. Then the other essential Dhamma is the five daily contemplation, reflect. It will allow you to understand the First Noble Truth reality. This nature of this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. These are the first three daily contemplation. You must contemplate daily so that you are not deluded by this physical body, this physical form. We are this one made of element, the four element goes the way of nature. It's not you. That's why old age, sickness, and death does not pertain to you. That is the nature of the physical body. That's why you don't have a problem. Your dead form, physical body, is not you. When it's not you, then who gets old, who gets sick and die? It's just the vehicle. The karmically conditioned form and mind. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why It is delusion. You cling on to it, hold on to it, and believe that this is me, this is I. Therefore, when this body gets old, gets sick and die, you think you have problem because you believe it's you. But the reality is when you meditate, you see very clearly it has nothing to do with you. It's just a karmically conditioned for my mind, a vehicle and tool for you to come to this universe, to live life, to go through life, to experience karma, to cultivate, to develop the understanding, to truly experience life to the fullest, live life to the fullest, and get to experience and live the third phase of Dhamma, Patthiveda, the life of enlightened being. But we have to understand this form and mind, physical body and mind of ours, chemical condition, is subject to karma. So you cannot simply do things. That's why it's a bit complicated, the teaching. Looks like real, may not be real. Looks like me, but it's not me. But then this one, the form of mind, can animate into a living being, a human being, and it can have life. It can have its senses, it can have its consciousness to experience the world, to know the world, to interact with the world. So all this make it even more difficult to understand. It is not totally a permanent and changing entity that never change. It is not Atta or Attaniya, self or no self. It is in between, the Buddha said, anatta, non-self, not no self, but non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity which is self. Yeah. But it's not nothingness also. Not completely no self, nothing. But there is something. That's why we call it non-self. So this part, the form and mind, which is subject to karma, dependent originating, is not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not you. But it's related to you. Because this one is karmically conditional. So that karmic nature is your karmic nature. So it conditions out the form of mind, the vehicle and the tool for you to come. Then only you can come to the existential world, to experience life, to live life, to do whatever you want, to fulfill your vows. So if you understand this, then it becomes different. Means this is connected to your nature, but it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's where the difficult part is, the complication is. But when you realize it through the meditation, it becomes so beautiful. You don't attach, you don't cling to the form and mind, but you make full use of it to cultivate, to live life to the fullest, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And all these are possible. Then when you have the Dhamma understanding, you can be free from all suffering. Because this Dhamma way is very beautiful. It can give rise to wisdom to liberate your mind, to set you free. Then this form of mind has meaning. You can use it. You can make full use of it to experience life, to live life, even though it's impermanent, not so real, not what you think. But there is such thing as life. Even though it's just within the moment, split second is dead and gone, split second is dead and gone. But there is such thing as a form and mind going through life. That's why that human being exists, but it's not you. That is the difficult part. If it's not you, then who are you? What are you? Meditate to realize that nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the form of mind. Then you start to understand that nature is never born, never sick, never old, because it's the unborn, uncreated, the unconditioned. So realize that nature, that true nature, the oneness nature. That's why the Buddhist teaching of enlightenment is to realize Nibbana, cessation of form and mind, to realize that oneness nature, to return to the original source before everything arises. From there, all things arise. To there, all things return when you have the Dhamma and the understanding. And the cultivation is just so simple when you understand. But when you don't understand, it's a maze. You will be like caught, lost in a maze, and you don't know how to come out. So that part, I think I have already explained clear enough. So we go back to the notes. So understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching, I have summarized all. I have gone beyond what the notes has written. Now we go to 2.1. 2.1, I have already explained just now, heedfulness. Heedfulness is ever mindful plus constantly meditative, means constantly cultivating noble eightfold path. So sati there means mindfulness, but when you stabilize it, means it becomes ever mindful. One must understand that the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, and how from there all his other teaching, essential Dhamma, comes to be. How and why the Buddha highlighted the importance of heedfulness. Why Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. So this one we have gone through many times. And why one must understand what heedfulness is. Heedfulness equals ever mindful and constantly meditative, means to constantly cultivate the noble eightfold path or meditation as taught by the Buddha, as defined by the Buddha's Dhammapada verse 23. That's 2.2. Sati is most important. Here is the first factor of enlightenment. That's the reason why the first factor of enlightenment is sati, because without sati, there is no meditation. And without sati, there is no heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, without heedfulness, you are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. You don't stand a chance. All these are very clear. So to develop the meditation, one must initially train one's mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, means cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. 2.3. To stabilize the sati, or the silent mind, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. This is also the reason why the first category of training, or the first foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupassana, is anapanasati, which is just to train the mind to be mindful or aware of the in and out breath. To do just that, then stabilize it and use it to cultivate mindfulness of the four posture, leading to the daily mindfulness, to develop all the other subsequent four foundation of mindfulness training and cultivation. So all this already taught before. You go back and go through the notes or listen to the sharing again. 3.0, this one is very important. This section is the most important. The pitfalls of thought-based meditation. So first of all, we have to define what is thought-based meditation. Thought-based meditation means you use the thought to meditate. Is that the correct approach? You have to inquire. You have to ask. But most human beings are very gullible because that is the only instrument they have. So they will tend to have the tendency to say, yeah, I have to meditate with a thought. Without a thought, how can I start? Everything I do, I use thought. So thought-based meditation can never lead to the awakening. But this very important point, nobody really quite understand until the Buddha came and teach mindfulness, awareness. Thought is the outcome of thinking. Thought is response to memory. So when thought arises, how can you be peaceful? How can you be aware? When you create thinking, when you give rise to thought, what happens? Your mind can only do one thing at a time. Means you will be lost in thought, preoccupied in what you think. Then if what you think consists of wrong view, wrong thought, that condition your emotion, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then what happened to you? You will be preoccupied with those emotions. You will be trapped by all those negativity of emotion, like your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. That's how human beings suffer. Mental suffering, that's how they arise. So when you use thought, it is not going to give rise to understanding because you cannot see, you cannot observe. Therefore, you cannot understand what is going on. So all thought-based meditation will lead to delusion because thought is egoic. Thought don't have wisdom. You have to use the silent mind to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to realize the truth. Then only the wisdom arise. Then with wisdom, you can use thought. You can use it to arise the right thought following Noble Eightfold Path. Without wisdom, when you use thought, chances is thought is always wrong thought. So before of thought-based meditation, you have to bear in mind. You have to have clear understanding. So what is happening is, when you don't have the understanding, human beings tend to do this. They use the thought to come up with the understanding of the Buddha's teaching or the so-called meditation. So they may read up the sutta or listen to Dhamma or look up in the Tipitaka, then use that thought process to come up with method and technique of meditation. Do you see where the mistake is? You not only use thought-based meditation, you use thought to analyze, to reason. Then you think that is the message of the Buddha. Then you come up with method and technique to meditate, or object of meditation to meditate. So you give people a series of instruction, which is all thought-based instruction. To note, to chant, to verbalize. And when you do it without understanding, thought becomes active and you are not silent. The purpose of meditation is to be heedful, to develop the ability to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. The moment you are without thought, you are already mindful, aware. Then why do you need thought to meditate? That's where people fail to develop the understanding. So this part is very important. When you do that, you will never awaken, because the Dhamma that the Buddha teach is akaliko. Sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, upanayiko, then pachetang. So this Dhamma, which is akaliko, is beyond thought, beyond mind. So how can you use an instrument which is thought to cultivate and hope to realize an enlightenment that is beyond thought? It's impossible, isn't it? And the gullible thing is, they use thought to formulate the method and the technique and the so-called teaching. Then people gullibly follow without understanding. That's how things go wrong. That's how over the years the teaching has deteriorated and it has not really had the potency to awaken living being or cultivator anymore. So we need to develop the clear understanding and reverse all this so that we understand clearly what sati is, what mindfulness is, what heedfulness is, then cultivate accordingly. Okay, now we go back to the notes. Pitfalls of thought-based meditation. When you understand all this that I have described, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you will debate. Well, most living beings are gullible. They thought meditation is some form of fantasy or like something very mystical. Then when they meditate and develop some form of special experiences that other people doesn't experience, then they think this is very special, especially psychic ability. Then they will attach and cling, and they want to know, is it a sign that I have achieved or realized? That's how one debate, because they don't understand what their focus is. They don't inquire to find out what is meditation. When you don't have a clear understanding of what you do in the name of meditation, you will end up debating. Then you may also end up having fantasy about meditation. That's how many cultivators or meditators got trapped. And the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is. And because sati is beyond thought, and you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, then it will become thought-based meditation instead of mindfulness or awareness-based meditation. So this is the most important understanding. All of thought-based meditation will not bring you to the meditative result, which is beyond thought and beyond mind, that you are looking for. Because what you want to realize is the Dhamma, which is akaliko. Akaliko means timeless. Means this Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if the instrument you use to meditate is thought, you cannot realize a state that is beyond thought. You cannot reach it because you are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this understanding, I think it should be very clear by now that you shouldn't make the same mistake again. By now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation has to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instruction. Just like what the Buddha told the Kalamas, you should not believe what the spiritual teacher tells you, not even the Buddha himself. You have to investigate and find out. Then when you understand, you will be very clear. Your mind will be very different, and you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you will become gullible. Then again, you debate. So always fall back to heedfulness to keep you focused. If whatever you do in the name of meditation is not to bring about heedfulness, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because without heedfulness, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this point, get it clearly understood so that you don't make the same mistake like others. Gullibly doing thought-based meditation. Those who do thought-based meditation really is very pitiful. They can go in and out on retreat for umpteen years, some 30, 40 years, 50, 60 years, and yet no real result. They realize they never change. Maybe superficially, at the thought level, they believe they have changed. But if you are sincere, you can understand. You will know whether you still have fear or not, whether you still have the evil roots with you or not, you still react to sense experience or not. Can you be at peace at all times? Do you really have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path Factor? It's very easy to check. Do you have right view? Are you happy? Do you have the embodiment of all the Noble Eightfold Path Factors or values? The noble values of the noble ones. So all this you can really check. It's not difficult. Unless you develop the understanding of the teaching and start from awareness. Awareness which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can insight into phenomena, can awaken and can realize the truth, develop the wisdom, the Dhamma wisdom. And with that wisdom developed, the form and mind become beautiful. Because when you awaken, the form and mind will have this wisdom, which is connected to the form and mind. And when this wisdom is connected to the form and mind, then this form and mind is no longer deluded, no longer have wrong view, ignorant. That's how it can live life. It can develop the noble life. Yeah. So you can live the life of an enlightened being, the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeta. But you must, through awareness-based meditation, the silent mind, the daily mindfulness, insight into phenomena and awaken, or via the first and second turning, constantly listening to Dhamma, and reflect, contemplate, and inquire to stabilize the understanding, then meditate to awaken. Following Abhijja Sutta, all the 10 steps, the enlightenment cycle or sequence. So all these are very clear, very beautiful, very clearly spelled out. So listen to all this, make your own note. Then from then onward, never deviate. Cultivate with understanding and you will become beautiful. You will progress along the path of Dhamma beautifully. Okay, we move on back to the appendix notes. We have finished mindfulness. Then, we have finished section 3, pitfalls of thought-based meditation. Now we are at section 4. Section 4 is sati or mindfulness or awareness. So there is a question by Sister Chui. He said, Brother Teo, I'm afraid I have to ask this somewhat simple question. Sati in Pali means mindfulness or awareness. Because I see the word being used interchangeably and sometimes I just get confused. Can you please explain again? Thank you. So it's a very well-worded question, eh? Very good question. So I reply, it's a very good question. You see, sati is a Pali word. It is translated as mindfulness, a very commonly accepted translation. But nobody really inquire into this word mindfulness. You split up the two words, then you will get the meaning, mindfulness. That is the meaning, right? But you never inquire or ask, what does this mean? The mind is full of what? If you say the mind is full of thinking, then that is definitely not sati. So it is full of what? Awareness, right? So this is the correct understanding. Yeah? When you are fully aware, that is sati. That is mindfulness. That's why awareness is before the knowing. When you are just aware, the perception hasn't come in. The memory hasn't come in. The views, the opinion, and the conditioning hasn't come in. You see things as they are, without the interference from your memory, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, your belief system, etc. So this part is very important. This part is real meditation. Then Chui asks again, I actually define it as mindfulness of that moment. Then I reply, it still doesn't explain anything, right? When you say mindfulness of that moment, what are you trying to tell me? Because within that moment, you can also think. That is, your mind is full of thinking within that moment. This is what Chui replies. Say, no, I don't mean that. You can't think when you are in the moment. How can you think? You are supposed to be. Then I have to cut her off because she still don't understand. I say, you can be in the moment and still thinking because you are not aware. You are not heedful. You have not developed the training of the mind. So that part need to be understood. Eh? Then you go to 4.1, you will understand. A mind that is full of awareness, fully aware. But when you are in the moment without thought, which is not easy to do, which is very difficult if you have not trained, then it is a different thing. Mind is full of awareness or fully aware. And then you are really without thought. That's why I say you never inquire, full of one. When mind is fully aware or full of awareness, it cannot have thought. It can only be aware. But the word is not used. Only in recent years, later teachers use that word awareness. Then they try incorporating them now. That's why awareness has become a new word nowadays. The actual word should be pure awareness without thought. And that is means the pure awareness. You are just aware without the thinking. But awareness, nature, and the thought, they are so close. The thought can come out very fast through your views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why people fail to understand. Because to be really aware and silent without thought is not an easy thing. You need to train that mind. You need to apply the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, and don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't suppress, don't control, don't do anything. Just let things be. Relax and maintain awareness. Then let the mundane mind slow down and return to its original state before the thinking. Before the arising of sankhara activity and thought process. That is what awareness-based meditation is all about. That you can maintain the stability of awareness to be with the awareness nature for as long as you can, then you start to develop a new understanding that there is another mind which is beyond thought. It's just like the fish analogy. Huh? You tell the fish, there is another atmosphere that is without water. You can go up above the sea or the water surface. There is land where there is only air. The fish will not believe you. He say you are crazy. Since birth until now, they are always in the water. So human being or living being is the same. Since birth, you are so conditioned by the thought. Like this thought proliferate constantly, unendingly. That every moment thought arises. The thinking is so heedless. So when it happens so often, you will think without thought you cannot exist. You only understand that there is only the instrument of thought for you to use to be alive, to live life, to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to tactile feel and think, that create thought through memory. So you have been doing all this mechanical action, psychological accumulation that created the heedless thinking. And the reason why you are always doing it is because you lack the spiritual faculty. When you lack spiritual faculties, the opposite five mental hindrances arise. And why are they called mental hindrances? Well, the Buddha teach this teaching. He said they are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Means from returning to the true mind. That's why they are called mental hindrances. So to overcome them, you don't suppress them, control them, or try to do away with them. You just let them be. Instead, cultivate the five spiritual faculties, the opposite five. Then all these five mental hindrances will cease. So this is the understanding of meditation. This is the understanding that can lead you back to awareness-based meditation. So that you know how to develop the ability to be aware, just aware. And it has to be a free mind that can do that. Most people cannot. If you don't believe me, you will try. Ask you not to think. Can you do it? Unless you have developed the training. It's impossible. Last time I remember, there are quite a number of people who ask me. Some of them are my uni mate. They are also engineers, very intelligent people, very smart people. Then when I tell them about meditation, where they want to know more about meditation, I say to meditate is not to think. I say, can you, within this moment, don't think? He tried, you know. He said, you must be mad. How can you don't think? Thought keep on arising nonstop. No wonder they cannot understand and they have a lot of problems. So all this is pointing towards the heedless thinking. Without understanding, you cannot develop it. Not easy. So meditation needs to be done with understanding. And then it becomes very easy. When you understand, it becomes very easy. Meditation is such. Without understanding, you can really be lost, completely lost, in a maze. Lost in a maze. You will debate because you don't know what this thing is. But when you understand, it's very straightforward, very clear, and you can develop it very well. So hopefully, with this appendix, you would have stabilized your understanding of what sati is, awareness is, then you can break free. Okay, we go back. to the notes. Okay, the next part is be with the moment without thought. This is the part that Sister Chui wants to develop, but she didn't have the ability at that time. You know, it's not easy. Be with the moment without thought. Most people are never with the moment. They are lost in thought, preoccupied with their thinking. They project their thought into the future. They daydream, they chatter, build castle in the air. Because all these are the thought creating all the thinking. And all this heedless thinking come from delusion, avijja, wrong view, sakkayaditi. They lack spiritual faculty, so the mental hindrance took over. So to be with the moment without thought, you have to develop the ability to meditate, to relax and maintain awareness and silence until the awareness nature becomes very stable. Then you have to develop it until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, then it becomes different. When the mind enters sati, it can be in the state of awareness without thought, where it can develop specific phenomenal awareness. Or it can have a spacious awareness without a center. It's just aware. It does not accumulate. It does not record, register. So the awareness is very beautiful. Very beautiful. So the human mind is very beautiful when you know how to use it. Well, it has a very good tool. We call it the brain. The brain has a lot of memory cells. It can accumulate a lot of useful information and things. So what are the good information and things that you must accumulate? You must not accumulate psychological memory that are non-beneficial, that will lead to wrong thought. You must not record all those views, opinion, and conditioning that make you rigid. So instead, you must accumulate all of the mechanical, useful memory, like your name, your friend's name, your loved ones, your address, your bank account signature, your bank account password, username. And that one you have to memorize. Then when you study in the school, scientific thing, mechanical things, like mathematics, science, physics, chemistry, biology. So all this, you can develop memories. But these are non-psychological memory. Doesn't bring about fear, worry, anxiety, and wrong view. So memory is useful. But without wisdom, you tend to accumulate the wrong memory. So it's just like a computer. Yeah? The computer is without the consciousness. That's why it works very well. So the technological people, scientific people with scientific understanding, nowadays our understanding of science has progressed so far and so deep. They can produce chips that are so full of memories, very powerful memories. That's why now we are talking about gigabytes of memory. Then later on, maybe terabyte and all those things. And these memories are stored in chips that are so small and they work so well, so perfect. And the brain also sometimes can get short circuit. But it seems The computer's memory chips seldom get short circuit. Why? Because they only need electricity, they don't have the consciousness part. So without consciousness, computer cannot be emotional. They don't have fear, worry, anxiety. They don't have psychological memory problems. They just follow instruction. Yeah. Input, output. Yeah. That's why they call it memory, random access memory, RAM. They know if I need it, I access it. If I don't need it, I don't access it. Then I think the last 2 days, I learned something from my daughter, where she's IT based. I need to upgrade my computer, change my computer. So the hard disk that I have was the old fashioned one. They call it the before SSD is hard disk drive. Hard disk drive, HDS.
HDD.
Oh, HDD, hard disk drive, yeah. So now it seems changed to SSD, solid state drive. Oh. And the computation system is so different. SSD is so much faster and smarter than the hard disk drive. HDD, oh, my wife faster, my wife can remember. HDD. So a lot of these things which are very technical, you got to learn them. But when it comes to consciousness, it's very different. Your consciousness needs wisdom. Otherwise consciousness can go either way. It is like a double-edged sword, understand now, can cut both ways. Yeah. But without wisdom, thought will become wrong thought. That's why it's the use of thought. Consciousness is the same. You need consciousness, the pure awareness, to develop the wisdom and the awakening. Then after that, with the wisdom, you can use thought. Yeah. So in a sense, it's like quite similar, not exact analogy, like computer, okay? Computer are chips without emotion. So you can say they are pure memories, thoughts, without the emotion part, without the consciousness through wrong thought that create the emotion. So the system analysts that build up the programming and all those things is very important. But you also need the motherboard, the hardware, and all those things. So all this have to work together for it to become what it is. So in the spiritual field, it's the same. Spiritual field have the additional mundane mind, which can become emotional. We can have feeling, emotion, conditioned by wrong thought. Then it need wisdom to actually take care of things. Then to develop wisdom, you need the pure awareness. You need to develop the meditation through the awareness-based meditation. That's why, in a sense, it's the other way around. You develop the wisdom first, then with the wisdom connected to the form and mind, you use it. Then the form and mind become beautiful. But for the computer, it's different. You need a good programmer. You need a very advanced motherboard, memory system, everything. So when all this fall into place, then the computer become very smart, very intelligent, can perform a lot of function, can actually support your usage, very beautifully. But luckily, human being lasts longer than computer. Computer, my daughter told me, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years maximum, become dinosaur already. You have to upgrade already. Because the information technology has progressed so fast, they need to process that high power processing demand upgrade, demand technology. That's how Microsoft make money. That's how all the tech company make money. Every time they upgrade, you need to spend money, the licensing and all those things. And the chip manufacturers and all those things also, they make a lot of money. Your handphone alone, the sales is fantastic. But there is value. There are values to it. So the reason why I share this with you is because I find this very interesting. So when you understand IT thing, we are nowadays younger generation, they are more IT based. So hopefully with this explanation, they can develop the approach towards spiritual understanding. They can see the distinct difference between the two. IT, you don't need much wisdom. You need intelligence. You need intellect. That's why the system analyst, the researcher, they have to be very highly intellect, very smart people, very intelligent people. But they don't have to be wise, because there is no emotion involved in the computer. So they don't have wrong view and other statement. But technology depends on the user. The user of technology is very much. If they abuse it, then technology becomes violent. Technology becomes evil. But if the user of technology is wholesome, with the right understanding, with a good heart, then technology can go a long way to help mankind improve our lifestyle, get our civilization in the right direction, and we will progress beautifully. Then we will have less and less environmental pollution. We will have less and less of all this, what they call weather problem, or they call it what is the word, climatic change, global warming and climatic changes. So all this come about because the human species, they really come out with a lot of new things, new discovery, but they have a side effect which scientists has not really completely understood. That's why they have a lot of mitigation to go through to actually to cope for all this new invention and discoveries. But our human consciousness in this planet is beautiful. As a whole, the last 40, 50 years is really amazing and beautiful. And we get to live them and witness them. That's why that day I was sharing with my daughter. I said, she is still so young, about 40, maybe another 40 years of good life to go. For me, I left with maybe less than 20. Now 67. 20 years, 87 really. Not many live until 87 and beyond. But hopefully, see how it goes. In fact, 10 years, you can see a lot of beautiful things already under our present civilization era. Okay, we will go back to the notes. Otherwise, I will divert too far. Okay, Sati. Oh, I haven't finished the be with the moment without thought. Okay, I read the top part again. But they went on to confuse it with another Pali words. And they said it carries the meaning of remembrance or recollection. They said sati has a lot to do with memory and recollection. So that part, be careful. A lot of textbooks write about that. But you have to be careful. It's not totally correct. So what is sati? I don't want to know the history, because when I meditate, I can be with the moment without thought. Hence, I can understand. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness, fully aware. Fully aware, the off, the word off should be cancelled. Fully aware, without thought. Fully aware, without the word OF. Oh, sorry. Without the word OF. Fully aware. Without thought. That's why I said sati is awareness before the knowing, and you just aware. Why can't you just be aware? The reason being, you think a lot. You are so heedless, and you are seldom aware within the moment because of your habitual thinking, your habitual tendency, born of heedless thinking, habitual heedless thinking. And also, partly because of your mental hindrance, because you lack the spiritual faculties. You also have a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, and the mental hindrance of mind, like sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, and doubt. They keep on arising to haunt you, hence the reason why you cannot be aware. So this understanding is very important. Why you can't be with the moment without thought? You cannot stop thinking. It's like you think a lot. So when I was in Form 6, I remember I wrote an essay. My form teacher loved that essay. I started by like self-awareness, self-investigation. Then when I understand myself, I understand how human beings behave and think. So my first opening statement was, human being is a creature of thought. So I use the word not creature of thought, but we think a lot. At that time, I really saw my thought very active. We think a lot. Then I realized human being is also a gregarious being because we need friendship, we need relationship, we need to live among people or society. That's why some, they cannot live with people. They go and buy pets. They keep pets, either dog or their cats or whatever pet that they like. So all this is a natural tendency. So when I say a human being is a creature of thought, a gregarious being, I straight away understand the form of mind. That is what it is. Then later on, as I continue to grow up and develop the meditation, then I realize there is another mind which is beyond thought. And I realize I can be with the moment without thought, very naturally, very easily, throughout the day. I don't have to like relax, silent, aware, and then only the thoughts slowly slow down and cease. That I did in the early days, yes, of my training. But after the mundane mind collapse, I don't have the mundane mind, right? The gross mundane mind. My nature is just the awareness. Just so I can just be aware throughout the day. I just aware. I can just stop like that. No thought. Even when I share with you, there is no real thinking, nothing. It's just that nature, straight from the heart, the awareness. That is speak from the understanding, that nature. That's why it's from that nature's understanding, it shares the Dhamma. And although you see me speak, think, talk, share and do all these things, even with some activity or movement, but inside my heart, my nature, empty, clear. Nothing. It doesn't have anything inside that. And yet, the understanding, everything comes from that nature. Because when this form of mind goes through the training, the awakening, the insight, that wisdom that arises is connected to this nature. That's why I say you don't have to remember. No need to remember. The understanding is already there. Wisdom is such, you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. Means at the moment of sense experience, if you don't have, you don't know how to act. You will act according to memory, or views, opinion, and conditioning. But the wisdom that is with your nature, it straight away, like yoniso manasikara, it will spontaneously arise for you to understand. That's why you act according to that understanding, that wisdom. It will prompt you. Then later on, even all this prompting, you also will go through. You don't need them anymore. Because everything has become very clear. So the cultivation is very beautiful, very, very amazing. Not what people think. Because if you use the thought process or the mundane mind to try to understand, you can't. Because this mundane mind can only think, analyze, reason, and rationalize. It don't have the wisdom. It is incapable of the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. You can have some form of knowledge of what this thing is, but you have not realized it. You cannot really understand what that thing is. Just like I told my daughter, I'm not in the IT field. So she tried to explain many things to me. I said, no matter how you explain, it's very difficult for me to get it because not easy. But this is not the field that I want to specialize in. But I know it's very important, very useful. And he said, learn, which is very true. I can learn. But not like the spiritual path or Dhamma. You learn until you perfect it, you understand it. We have to do that. You really need to go full time. A lifetime attention is needed in that direction. So hopefully, with all this sharing, it can give you the understanding. Okay, now we go back to the notes. I will finish this one first. Oh, I finished already. Oh, 10:03. We stop at number 5. Number 4. So the next sharing, we will go to number 5. Number 5 is sati, or pure awareness before the knowing. Okay, good. At least we cover quite a bit of very useful essential understanding of meditation and the Dhamma. Now, with the time available, it's not like in the retreat, I don't have to rush. I can really share. And I can go deeper now is because many Kayanamita has actually progressed. They have the ability to understand what I share now and what I say. Of course, some of it may not be immediate, but they roughly know what that thing is. Then later on, as they progress and stabilize their self-awareness, their awareness nature, then they go through the transformation. They will understand all this. That's why all these are recorded in the website and it's very useful. You don't believe me, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you listen again, you will be very amazed at the teaching, the wisdom part that is involved in the sharing. Not until you have that ability to understand or grasp all this, you can never have the full appreciation of it. Because my nature went through, I know. It has taken me almost 30 years. Since 1989. 31 years already. And for all this to stabilize, to have that potency to awaken, to develop the clear understanding of the teaching is not easy. So all this, because of technology and our affinity with the Triple Gem, the Great Being's nature, and all Kayamita who has helped out in one way or another, all this become possible. And we have the printed books, We have the ebook, we have the PDF file, we also have the website, which is most important. Then we also have the proper framework, the Kayamita Fund, which was set up actually very well since inception. Since the day I decided to come out, I already have all this in mind. That's why all this become very straightforward. And that Kayamita Fund is very useful. Yeah, it can help Kayamita go a long way. Our Kayamita force depend on the wholesomeness that this Kayamita Fund do. And now our Kayamita Fund can actually provide for the money support of our website. Yeah. All the security, what you call, we buy the security. I know you call that what? Service, that we need to prevent all those, what do you call, cyber attack. Luckily we have Brother Lau, he helped us sort out all these things. Our website in the early infancy, I think in the first 2 or 3 years, we cannot hack left and right. I think coming to 3 years. The first 2 years was very severe. But the last one over here, I think we have paid for all those security services, which has helped us a lot. Then we have increased our memory space to unlimited memory storage, backup storage. So a lot of these things. Oh, we can use cloud or not? To the cloud, Oh, good. Oh, no wonder. Oh, luckily, that one is very useful. The 365 got terabyte. 1 terabyte, per person, no. And my daughter told me we subscribe that Microsoft 365, very useful. Can have 5 user, and each user. A 6 family member, and each user can link to 5 computer, 5 devices. Oh, this is really amazing. And we pay so little. We only pay 20 over ringgit per month to subscribe for that. And I use my Digi account to subscribe for that. Then I can actually donate back the money to the Kayamita Fund. So no need to collect from me and reimburse me. No need. I assume I pay and I donate. I pay, I donate. So it's only a few months we started. The Microsoft 365 MCO time. I think about 5-6 months. Which is very useful. That's why technology is fantastic. Luckily, Sui come back. And all meant to be. Otherwise, all these things are not possible. I will also not be able to do anything. But it so happened. He come back every time, right timing. Last time come back, GE14. She get to witness a lot of things. Then really experience the victory, the history that Malaysians have created. The GE14. And this time come back the lockdown and all those things. Then a lot of timing is like fantastic, meant to be. And she get to experience a lot of things.
Hi, Brother Teo.
Hi, I can remember you, Cassie.
Yeah. The reason why you have not heard my voice before is because I am so new. Everything, Brother Teo, that you speak about, is really new to me. So I am just like a sponge. I am just absorbing and trying
that
to understand.
Yes.
Yeah. So trying
to
understand.
Do you have a copy of the Hasuka book?
Of course I do.
Good.
Because we were supposed
to slowly read through.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm following as you go every time when you read, so I have it. So I don't have to refer to that small little screen.
So
yeah, so it's I do find that, you know, even though you know, I keep hearing the same messages every time that I attend.
Yes.
So somehow or other I realize that it actually does go inside.
Yes,
But I don't really understand everything that Brother Teo is saying.
It's always in stages.
Yes.
A lot of people in the early days was like you. Even Po Cheng, they also same. But as they listen, then as they cultivate, as they develop the faith, the spiritual faculty comes in, the awareness comes in, then they start to progress. The same thing you listen again after 3 months or 2 months or 6 months, the meaning becomes deeper again.
Yes.
Every time you listen, it becomes deeper. It may be the same teaching, but approach from a different way, then you understand it more clearly. A lot of people have told me that.
Yes. Yes, that's very true, because I realize, but I think for myself, I realize that because I keep listening to you, so it's sort of like, it reminds me, because previously it was always like, you know, whatever happens, it's very reactive, because you just react, because you don't know, you don't know any other way.
Habitual tendency, habitual
reaction. Yes, yes. But now I do realize that it makes me pause to think, because I remember what you say.
Yeah.
And then I say, you know, that's not right. You know,
reflect and contact.
Yes, that's right. And I always tell myself, because I remember what you say, that, you know, you must always, you have to be patient. You know, because, so I tell myself, I mean, I have been listening to you for probably the past 7 to 8 months. So of course, I listen to all the sharing by the other brothers and sisters, I say, when am I going to be able to be at that level, you know? So but I realized that it does help me in my daily life.
Like just now, you gave that sharing, it already show that it has helped you, because do you know why? You say now they, you have become more sensitive. Where you can stop and pause.
Yes.
And reflect. Last time you just get angry, emotional, and just erupt. That is a sign of progress. Where you have become more sensitive, you feel for others. Then you reflect, you contemplate. Then you will recall the Buddha's teaching. We reap what we sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. So we have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, following the word. And then you will start to change. Because this is for the conducive way of living life. Otherwise, you will end up following Dhammapada verse 1, continue to be heedless, create the heedless thinking with the evil root, then suffering will follow you. But now, with this understanding, you change over to a more heedful living. Although you may not be able to fully live it, but at least you start. You start by reflecting, contemplating, become more sensitive. Then, is this the right way to live life? If I don't want the karmic repercussion or the karmic friction, then I do not do all these things. You know, whatever I do to people, it will come back to me. I will end up as a victim in future life. So this is not what you want, then you change. That's how Dhamma transforms people. Where you see the danger of being heedless. You see the danger of holding on to wrong view, delusion, evil roots. Then you start to appreciate the teaching, the Noble Eightfold Path, from right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then you follow the advice of the Buddha. To avoid all evil is to keep precept. All this will start the teaching. That's how it will create an impact on human being, living being, and transform living being. Oh, your sharing is very good today, because there are some new people. David, they are also new like you. I think David also started doing MCO until now. So this Zoom video has helped new people like you.
Yes, it's really true, you know, because prior to otherwise, you know, to think about going to SS2 on Tuesday and going, you know, it's impossible.
Yeah,
so this has, like you say, this is really a blessing in disguise, because, you know, you receive so much more, all that. One more thing, prior to, I wanted to share is that, you know, I never ever thought that I'll be able to sort of like hear about Mahayana Buddhism, because even though, you know, Mahayana is like so ingrained in us, because as a Chinese, you know, we go to temples and we hear all the chanting. But everything is in Chinese.
Because
I don't speak Mandarin. So, we always go, we just bye-bye like because you don't understand, there's no Dharma, you know, even when they talk, I don't understand, So that's why my leaning was always towards Theravada Buddhism, because I mean, at least you can go to Buddhist Vihara, which is in English. So this is like, I say, wow, this is like something that I really did not expect, and I'm actually learning so much. And you know, it's like going back to your roots, you know, because it's, you know, at home last time with mother, is like Mahayana. Yeah, so that this is really something unexpected that I am encountering. And I, thank you very much, Brother Teo. Sadhu.
Yeah, what you say is very true. What Casey says is very true, because if you were to look back, as a Chinese, we are born in the Chinese family. So like I said, last night I saw what my mother did. My mother followed almost 100% of what the Chinese tradition passed down. And she don't have the Dhamma. But she is very good. That's why I choose her to be my mom this birth. And my father too. My mother has a lot of faith in Kuan Yin. She really has 100% faith in Kuan Yin. And she is very, very pious. As far as Kuan Yin is concerned, the only fallback is she also believes in dainties and medium and all those things. But nothing wrong, because of her faith, she actually benefited. Then I look back, I saw, initially I thought that was Buddhism. Then I say, if that is Buddhism, forget about it, because certain things she do was actually Chinese tradition. Like I used to explain during the early days when we were young, whenever her sibling was sick or having problem or near exam time, she will go and make offering, slaughter chicken and all those things. Of course, there is also some offering of fruits, but less. Flour also less, because that time she is quite thrifty. So, but she willing to offer chicken and all those things. Sometimes it's pork, still cheese, the small one. Then, like bargain with them on. If I offer you, you protect my children, you give them blessing, you help them pass. So that time I was thinking, wow, can negotiate on that one. So like our mundane world can count him on. So I didn't look at Buddhism, but I thought, if Buddhism is like that, what for? I look at it. Until I read the book, What Buddhists Believe, by Chief Reverend, the first edition, somebody gave it to me. The moment I read that one, I realized what my mom did was the Chinese traditional practice. Nothing to do with the Dhamma. Wow, then I was so excited. Then I quickly flicked over to find out what the Buddha teach. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, no turning back. I knew this is it. That's why after that, I understand everything my mother do. And I appreciate. I really, really have the piety, gratitude, joy, because she sacrificed so much. And her faith with Kuan Yin was the one that actually make me understand what faith can bring about. Faith can bring about wonders. Then the funny thing is, even when he took me to the Chinese temple, all the dainties that he asked me to pay respect, Chong Hyong, I cannot do one now. But out of respect for her, I take the joystick, I count 1 to 10, Then I put it down, then I smile. Then she very happy. But when I went to Kuan Yin Miao, or the Mahayana temple that has the Buddha, Tizan Wang Pusa, Wen Su Pusa, naturally, I will go and pay respect, even Maitreya and all those things. Naturally, I will pay respect. It's like from the past, my nature knows. And I love Kuan Yin. Kuan Yin really very strong affinity with my nature. And this life, Kuan Yin's nature has helped me a lot. So these are very beautiful understanding and experiences. So for you, that's why I can understand your joy, your happiness. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yes, Masri, you can come in.
Bratio, good evening. I just shared before.
Never mind. Now KC wants to hear from you. You are the Paisi chair. You can guide her. Then she also wants to come get to know you, I think.
Bratio, actually.
Yeah. You can share how you started and how you benefit. Well, you also went through the long way. You told us you have been searching for this for many years.
Yes, it was like 8 years ago when I met Bratio at Mifong's house. Before this, I was with the Burmese style.
The Burmese
teacher. Burmese teacher, so which is we did also what so called vipassana. And metta. Their vipassana is I attended their retreat before.
The Burmese tradition.
Yes, the Burmese tradition. So for me to come back to Brother Teo's method.
Yeah, not easy.
Brother Teo's method. It took me years.
Teaching, yeah.
It took me years to from the thought
adjust.
Base, you know,
to
adjust.
Adjust
from thought base to the awareness base. But even until recently, that my last report in March also, I'm still in thought base, but Brother Teo said no more already.
Yeah. You have actually developed the understanding. Yeah, you have changed. There's some of the experience that you experience are very good, but I always remind you, experience that can come is a byproduct, but if it doesn't give rise to wisdom, then it remains as experience, understand? What is more important is the penetrative understanding, the transformation, the wisdom that come with those good mind states that arise. Because I remember you shared with me when you were at Wakusan, certain of these experiences were very good, very amazing. Well, when you were there, you were very relaxed, very natural. Then you go into the silence, the awareness, the nature. You experience many things. But you try to relate those experiences to Dhamma understanding, which is something you should not do yet. You just let that thing stabilize until the understanding arises by itself. Don't try to know. Don't try to look for Dhamma. When you stabilize the awareness nature, those experiences that arise, stabilize it. Don't be too eager to know. Just relax, maintain awareness, experience that oneness or whatever. Even a few other Kayamita also, they start to experience all those things. Then I told them, stabilize your awareness more and more, more and more. Then through that stability of awareness, the awareness will understand by itself. Then stabilize your daily mindfulness. All these are very useful and very important.
Actually, these two weeks, lately, one month plus, daily mindfulness is very, very important. Whatever we do in the sitting, with the understanding will only arise when we are mindful during our daily life.
Daily life, yes.
And that otherwise, understanding will help us to straighten
to straighten your view.
Yes.
to help transform.
Yes, then we react.
Otherwise, your habitual tendency you cannot root out. You will go back to the thinking, the analysis, the rationalization, the mundane mind's views and opinions. That one will surface again. Even that time, Brother Song, I had to point out to him many times. Then only he understands. Because that mundane mind, they have the tendency to analyze. That is the thought. And the egoic mind, which is the thought, is the one that gives rise to problems, doubts and all those things. That's why don't try to know, don't try to analyze. Just tell yourself part of the way. You just do. Stabilize.
It's only when we are mindful during daily life, then only we can see our habitual tendency.
Yeah. Otherwise you are not sensitive.
If we can't see the habitual tendency, there's no way that we can root it out.
Yeah, you cannot. Because it's all knowledge. And you try to use knowledge through analysis and rationalization, that one is not the real wisdom, not the real Dhamma. So that one maybe give you some idea of, like they teach, let go, don't attach, don't cling. All these are words, ideas. They are not wisdom. The real wisdom is the understanding straight away free you. No need to let go. Who let go? The one who hold want to let go. How can it happen? It cannot. Without wisdom, you will hold. You will cling. The habitual tendency will stir. But once the wisdom arises, then suddenly one day you realize, hey, how come nowadays different? You doesn't react and behave like last time already. Then there is joy. Then there's a lot of things happening in you and you become totally different.
Yes, deep inside us, we know what is.
Yeah, you will know.
We will know whether we have rooted out or not.
That egoic maya, that entity, the sacredity, very deep one, very difficult to root out one. You have to contemplate, reflect until your wisdom very stable. Then you can have clear understanding. Then really, the thing no more there. One. Then the form and mind is a form and mind. You know what it is. You will know how to use it. And you will have a lot of choice. Every moment, you will not be affected by anything already. So that stability takes time. Yeah, very good. Anything else you want to add?
No, I actually now... what I do is more on daily mindfulness.
Yeah, that one continue to stabilize it.
Yes, yes.
Then in the form of meditation, continue to silent until the mind enters the peak. Whatever thing you do, whether it's anapanasati or rising, falling or whatever, or even the heartbeat or whatever, let it be silent until very quiet, very still, until the heartbeat also no more. You have to reach the stability until the mind on its own, without any anger, is already aware. Means that free mind, without thought, on its own, no need to hold on to anything. Initially, it can be at a certain point, like near your heartbeat there, where the awareness of the heartbeat slowly, slow down until like no more. Then stay there. Even no more also stay there. Until the mind can be aware on its own. Means without support. That means your mind has entered sati. Then after that, whatever movement or activity you realize, it's all magnified. Then wherever you locate that mind, you can try. It becomes very sensitive. It can detect a lot of things. Then with that mind, in the daily life, you can be aware of very subtle mental intention.
Mental movement.
Whatever. Whatever that your subtle intention or defilement within, the slightest movement, you're very sensitive. You can feel it already. Then you cannot allow it to move anymore because you realize this is stress. This is suffering. This is trying to do something against nature. You are not able to accept what is the reality. then you start to understand all this very subtle movement. Then one day you realize it cannot have any power over you. Then you can't even like want to stir your mind or do anything, because that sensitivity is so sensitive. The slightest movement, you feel it. Want to have any slight, comment, very serious. Yeah. This, the slightest uneasiness. Understand?
Inside.
A very subtle type of, like you have feel, you know, oi, this is not right, this is not natural already. Become very sensitive. There are a lot of things you cannot do already. You cannot do anything.
That's right.
Then all the sankhara will start to lose power. Then the wisdom part keep on arising. Sankhara anicca, sankhara dukkha. People are just the way they are. So all this will stabilize some more after that. Then you become very different. Then as you move through all this, only you understand. That's why it's pachetang. Can only be understood by the wise, each of themselves. So all this will come about when you have the faith, the patience. Then just do, persevere. Don't try to know. The knowing and the understanding and the awakening will come by itself. Especially when your daily mindfulness is very stable, when your awareness nature within very stable, you become very sensitive. Then you live from that nature, heedful living, and your whole daily life become different. You are no longer at the top level. So that is the final aim of all cultivators. Okay? Sadhu, eh?
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you for the good sharing, by Kissy and Sister Padmasuri.